Hello and welcome to the Skip Bayless Presents Dictator Goodell's No Fun League podcast. My name is David Rumsey.
And this is Michael Rumsey.
We're going to tell you a little bit about what happened here in week one of the NFL and preview a little bit of week two and have a little bit of fun along the way. So, first we had the Broncos and Ravens open us up on Thursday night. Delayed because of lightning and rain. It was quite an exciting game, wasn't it?
It was. Seven touchdowns out of Peyton Manning, tying a record that hadn't been touched in several years.
Several years? Wasn't it like 30?
Several being 30. Yeah, I think Y.A. Tittle or something was the last one to do that. So
and nobody knows who Y.A. Tittle is.
I knew who he was, actually. I believe he played for the Giants. I could be wrong. Google that. Yeah, quite an impressive run there. Now, we've got a friend, actually my brother-in-law. His name is Patrick Johnson, and he is a Peyton Manning fan, so he is a Broncolt now. And he had a test before this game. He's in school right now.
We were going over to his house to watch the game. Big party.
So we were delayed even further for that. It was pretty funny.
What time do we start the game? Like 10:30?
Oh, probably pretty close to that.
I think it was 10:30, 10:15.
It was pretty funny to watch him react to this, though. And you know,
you know the score of the game before?
I didn't. I kept myself under control. I did not look.
There were some hoes at the party who were trying to look.
Right.
Look at the score.
Right. There were some people trying to cheat, but we kicked them out. You know, if you don't remember now, even though it just happened less than a week ago, the Ravens were up at halftime.
Were they really?
They were up at halftime. So
what was the score at halftime?
I do not remember, but they were up by less than a touchdown, I believe.
Yeah.
And Patrick was obviously, you know,
were they up like 17-14 at halftime or something?
Something like that, or 17-21. Clearly we're prepared here. Go the other way. There we go.
Yeah. No, but how surprised were you with Julius Thomas?
That was impressive. Now, Patrick had been talking to me about Julius Thomas for about 3 months now, so I've been put on notice that he may do something like this, but you certainly don't expect two touchdowns out of a guy that hadn't been able to stay healthy his first 2 years in the league. So you had him on your fantasy team, right?
Yeah, just so everybody knows, 28 points in PPR leagues from Julius Thomas.
Now, my Broncolts fantasy team that mainly consists of Broncos and Colts, dedicated to Patrick, was the only league out of four I won this year because of Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas, and this week and Demaryius Thomas and Wes Welker. So
Demaryius Thomas was not having a fantasy game though at the beginning.
Not at the beginning. Well,
He didn't score until the fourth quarter, with 13-13 left, and then he scored that crap touchdown that was 78 yards.
Yeah, why do you think that Manning didn't go ahead and go for 8? Do you think John Fox pulled the plug on him? Because
I don't think
he could have gotten it.
I don't think he was even going for 7. It was a 78-yard touchdown pass that got him to 7. It was just a screen pass, you remember.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Well, I'm curious. I feel like Manning is kind of a dude that likes those records, so I wonder if he wanted to go for it.
John Fox was probably mad that he threw the screen pass to Demaryius Thomas.
That's true. He was probably wanting to knee it at about 10
minutes. You know, John Fox probably
fourth.
Called a run play and Peyton Manning audibled out of it.
That's true. Wonder if he'll get yelled at for that.
Do you think John Fox like tells Peyton Manning he can only audible out of so many run plays?
That's probably pretty likely, yeah.
But they didn't run the ball at all.
Well, their running backs are terrible, all three of them. I don't think anyone expected NoSean Moreno to get the start and get the action that he got. Everything was...
And he didn't even have any... His stats were awful.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to be Hillman and or Ball.
The leading rusher in the game was Ray Rice for 36 yards. He was on the losing team.
So, looking forward, the imbalance of the Broncos, is that going to be a problem for them? Or is their passing game going to be so good that it's not going to matter?
I don't think
matter?
It matters. Wes Welker, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and now if Julius Thomas keeps it up, you don't really need a running game.
Well, we'll see what happens when Manning's neck starts acting up and the grip gets a little bit loose on the ball if they have to resort to that.
And we haven't even said anything about the defending champs, but they looked pretty bad.
Really nothing to say about them. They were terrible. Joe Flacco had his banner up there.
Big game, Joe.
That was about it. Let's see. They go back home this week, so they get their home opener. We'll see what happens there.
But, I mean, when your top targets are Brandon Stokley and Dallas Clark, Peyton Manning, sloppy seconds.
Yeah, I
Patrick
bet...
Patrick referred to it.
I bet Joe Flacco was upset watching the 49ers game on Sunday, too. Watching
Anquan
Boldin
was a
perform.
Beast. We'll get to that in a minute. So let's go ahead to Sunday. The storylines from that day. We had the Saints beat the Falcons 24-23, wasn't it? No, it was 23-17. It would have been 24-23 had Atlanta, had Tony Gonzalez caught the ball.
Yeah, that was a good game. Good tone setter for that NFC South. It'll be a tough division there. I had the Saints winning that just by virtue of being home, but I think ultimately Atlanta will be just as good, if not better, of a team. I don't think this is going to set them back too much. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of surprising a 23-17 score from those two teams whose defenses aren't particularly good, but I don't know, Russ. I think they'll probably end up scoring 20 to 30 points a game, usually.
Well, especially in a week where there were actually over 60 touchdown passes thrown collectively in the NFL.
Seven from Peyton Manning.
Which, whatever the number was, it was somewhere over 60. It broke a record for the most touchdown passes thrown in a week, in a single week. You would have thought more would have come from a game featuring the Falcons and Saints on, turf and... not sure what happened there, but I would expect to see.
Well, they always
teams.
Play each other tough, those division games, especially in the NFC South.
I mean, every NFC South division game is like an SEC game, so
just grinding it out on the gridiron.
We wouldn't expect anything less. I know we don't have it on the topic board there, but maybe we can get into a little Johnny Football for you.
Oh yeah, hopefully
later in the.
So another thing we saw on Sunday was Seattle, and I think most people probably had them like two touchdowns over the Panthers, right?
Right. Well, Seattle is actually petitioning Roger Goodell right now to be able to play all of their games
at home, right?
In Seattle. If that were the case, 16-0 would probably be, within reason every year. They'd obviously get a first round bye, and they would win two playoff games and then likely go on the road to play the Super Bowl. Actually, the only owner that's supporting this right now is Robert Kraft. He would desperately like to not be the only team that goes 18-1, and he does believe that if Dictator Goodell approved this, the Seahawks would go 18-1 several times and kind of
take him in the Super Bowl?
Take that blemish off of him.
Would the Patriots be the one to beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl?
If the cards fell that way, the cards would fall that way. That would certainly be a little bit of redemption, almost as much as beating the Giants, if that ever happened.
Well, I'm sure the Seahawks will... I don't know, do you think they'll take the NFC West, or do you think...
After yesterday or Sunday's
performances... How good did Kaepernick look?
I would say that the 49ers probably have the inside shot. We'll see what happens. We'll preview their upcoming game Sunday night later in the show here. But I think right now you got to say the lead goes to the 49ers. They're a little more versatile. They can play on the road.
Do you think Anquan Boldin can keep it up? What, did he have three touchdowns or something?
No, he won't keep that up, but I believe he is going to be a reliable target for Kaepernick, at least while Crabtree's out. But when Crabtree comes back, and you've still got Manningham there, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore is a capable running back. Kaepernick obviously can add some stuff on the ground. And then this is the offense that we're talking about for a team that primarily is known for their defense. You could easily have a top five offense and top five defense with that team. So
on the 49ers. And the Packers, they can't seem to beat the 49ers.
No, they've struggled.
Two straight games.
Their defense is very questionable.
But Clay Matthews, I mean, he's going to have some repairing to do on his image, right?
Right. Harbaugh is, I guess he's the new say on someone's image. So we'll see what he would have to say about Ndamukong Suh's image after what he did. But
which he should not be getting suspended, I read.
I heard that. So Matthews, though, started a little skirmish there. Probably a little bit of a punk move, but... the 49ers are full of punks. Kaepernick's a punk.
It's really the same story for the Packers, isn't it? They can score a bunch of points, but they can't really stop anybody.
Yeah, their defense the past 3 years, two of the past 3 years it's been in the bottom of the league, and 1 year it was in the top 12 or something like that. So they've been wavering. We'll see how they, you know, kind of establish an identity.
I mean, you think about it, the last two playoffs, that's the reason that they've lost. They lost to the Giants and they lost to the 49ers because they can't slow anybody down.
Right, and they're also in a situation where they're at least to be seen, they're one-dimensional offensively without a stable running game. Now, if Eddie Lacy comes on and they could control
Bama.
The clock a little bit, Bama, we're all tied there. If they could control the clock a little bit, they may be able to offset having a questionable defense. But when you give a quarterback like Colin Kaepernick an offense like the 49ers, as many possessions as they had, as many chances as they had, they're bound to score.
That's true. So let's talk about the Patriots-Bills game. Amendola looked nice. C.J. Spiller did not look so nice. He didn't get very many carries. Let's go ahead and read this quote here from the Bills offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. We all heard it before the season started. It's real simple. Real simple. We're going to give him the ball until he throws up. So he's either got to tap out or throw up on the field. Let's just put it that way.
Right. So we were actually watching this game at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we started to notice that Fred Jackson was in the game a lot. I actually looked up the stats afterwards, and Spiller got more rushes and more carries, but he was less effective, or more carries and more catches, but Jackson had more yards in both categories. So the question is, and I didn't see him tap out on the field.
And he did not throw up on the field either, which were the two qualifications for him to not get the ball.
So I'm not sure what happened, if he threw up at halftime where we couldn't see, or maybe, you know, on the sideline somewhere. But
I mean, he only had 17 carries.
I mean, Hackett has got some explaining to do, because I was expecting to see Spiller out there the whole time and
or
throw up, and I didn't see throw up, and I didn't see Spiller. So
how big of a disappointment is that for his fantasy owners?
You know, the ones that trusted him, I never trusted him with his injury history. But he was going top four, top five in a lot of fantasy leagues. So definitely some disappointment right now, especially if you pass by, you know, Shady McCoy or something like that. But fantasy in week one is tough to roll too many dice on. There's a lot of players that are dropped heavily right now, that are picked up heavily right now. And it's going to be a couple weeks till we can find out whether those are going
to
stick.
Yeah, that's true. And just going back to the Patriots, they always seem to have at least one game a year where they have some trouble versus the Bills. I mean, that was a close game. Gostkowski bailed him out of the end.
Yeah, which he didn't do last year, so that's a good sign to see. I mean, I went into the season thinking we'd have about 7 preseason games to get ready with us opening versus the Bills, Jets, and Bucks. But it looks a little bit tougher. Now, E.J. Manuel, got to give him credit. He did well. He only got Patrick, I believe, 3 or 5 points or something in the bad QB league, which we'll talk about more later. So he definitely played like a pro. He's got some Cam Newton-type looks there. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big boy. He made some big throws, but, I mean, it is the Patriots' secondary. It's never been impressive.
Hey, we've got your boy Aqib Talib there now. We'll see what happens with that. Stevie Johnson, he had said in the week that no one on the Patriots could stop him. But he
showed himself.
That we didn't need to stop him. He could stop himself. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, and then we had the Patriots' former foes, the Jets. Not really a foe these days, but they should have lost to the Buccaneers before Levante David handed them the victory.
Yeah,
on a silver platter.
He seemed to feel bad about that. He said it was a mistake afterwards. So,
sure Raheem Morris was proud of him.
You were watching the play. What happened there?
Well, Geno Smith made a little scramble out of bounds. I think he ran out on the 46-yard line of the Bucs, and then Levante David just pushed him out, brought 15-yard penalty. Unnecessary roughness took him to the 31-yard line, 48-yard field goal. So, I mean, they would have had to throw in a Hail Mary to win the game, but it's two bad teams playing each other, so.
Yeah, so gave him a field goal shot there, and they won it. So, Bucks are going to have a tough game next week versus the Saints.
Yeah, they are.
They could easily end up 0-3 as they go to New England the week after that. So,
yeah.
We'll see how Greg Schiano's team is able to move forward.
That's true. And the last thing from Sunday, we saw the Giants look very up and down versus the Cowboys. David Wilson, I had started him -3 fantasy points with his 19 yards and 2 fumbles.
Solid, yeah. Tom Coughlin is not afraid to bench him after a fumble.
He did that at
the beginning of the year last year. I think he will. Andre Brown's leg is still broken. you know, they're trying out Willis McGahee, I think, but there's a reason why he's not on a team. Wilson's a very good player. He's just got some confidence issues. Stephen Ridley did the same thing. Bill Belichick had a sit-down with him. Maybe Coughlin and Belichick and Ridley and Wilson all had a luncheon or something on Monday.
With Tiki Barber and Adrian Peterson about not fumbling the football.
Yeah, maybe they'll get some of those straps or something on their arms to hold on to it. But you got to hold on to the football or you're going to get benched, especially in a league where there's you know, a lot of running backs by committee. You're not going to get to take too many carries out there if you're putting the ball on the ground. I think that's pretty straightforward.
So staying in the NFC East, we had the Eagles and Redskins play last night on Monday, and Chip Kelly's offense looked pretty Oregon-like, didn't
it? That was crazy. See, I didn't even watch the start of the game, and I turned the game on, and the Eagles were up by like 20, and I passed out on the couch, woke back up, Redskins are about to tie the game. That was insane, and now all the talk is the sustainability. Will they be able to sustain that?
I believe they were up like 26-7 at halftime.
Something crazy.
Yeah, that
like
was the score. Michael Vick looked like he was having a lot of fun.
What do you think about the ability to sustain that? Is that going to happen, or to some degree, what's Chip Kelly's plan for the future?
Well, I don't think the Redskins defense is all that great, so I think that played a part of it. Kind of, they were unsuspecting too. I mean, you should have suspected it from Chip Kelly.
Yeah, they've had several months to prepare for this, so they probably should have been more ready. But
I mean, we'll see what defenses can do if they'll be able to slow them down. But I mean, if you're moving the ball, if you're completing passes, then and Vic's not injured, I mean, they have all the tools.
Yeah, but Vic doesn't play 16 games, so he's gonna be injured at some
point. He's gonna get hit. He's gonna get concussed or break a rib.
And another thing to remember, Bryce Brown did not look anywhere like McCoy did when he came in. So you've got two players there, and Vic and McCoy, that you're really depending on. And if either one of them goes down or if both of them goes down, I don't think that offense is running.
Yeah, and from a stamina point, I mean, Vic probably won't get too tired, but if McCoy is running every play, if he's getting the ball a lot, he might need Bryce Brown to come in and take a few carries for him.
It certainly will be interesting to see how that goes.
And then the other Monday night game, we saw the Texans come back on the Chargers.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that when I went to bed. I figured the Texans would blow them out, but San Diego definitely looks better with the new coach. Finally got North Turner out of the picture. I'm sure the fans there are
excited. It's all Danny Woodhead, right?
Did he do well?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was week one for us. So now we're going to talk a little bit about some fantasy football that you may not be aware of quite yet. We have a league called the Bad QB League. Michael introduced this, thought it up, so why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I got the idea from Grant Lind and Bill Simmons and those guys. So we put this together. Basically, you're getting good points for, you know, positive points for bad things and negative points for good things. We're going to redraft each week. I ended up with Blaine Gabbert this week.
Yeah, he was the star of this week, right?
61 standard points, 25 bonus points for being injured and not returning. So I'm the winner this week, and I will pick last. So we'll do our draft again this week. But fun stuff there, fun to watch quarterbacks fail. Blaine Gabbert, let's see, highlighted by a pick six, I guess, which gets 12 points in that league, and a lacerated hand. He's already out for next week, so he will be ineligible to be picked, which I'm sure will be disappointing to some other people in the league.
Yeah, 121 yards and 2 interceptions. That's bad QB material right there.
Yeah, lots of incompletions too, which is good. You want to keep
that. Do we
get
points for incompletions?
Yeah, 1 point per incompletion. So.
Do we get negative points for completions?
No. You just want to keep that completion percentage low, keep those touchdowns low, those interceptions and sacks high. How many sacks did Blaine Gabbert get pulled down with?
I don't know how many.
Pull
times
up top
he
there.
Sacks.
I think
Let's
it was
see.
Like 5.
1, 2, 3. Oh, just 3 sacks.
3. Okay. Well, hopefully, we'll get more later. But should be fun. If you had the first pick this coming week, who would you go with?
Well, who are the Jaguars going to be starting? Chad Henne?
They're going to be starting Chad Henne.
I think you got to take a look at him. Geno Smith did not look impressive versus the Buccaneers, even though the Jets did end up winning. He threw a pick.
Now you were second. You were second in overall points at about 45,
yeah,
I think.
I did have Geno Smith, so I'd take a look at him, too. Now, the other QBs in our league were, what, Terrell Pryor? I wouldn't choose him. He looked good.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill, he only got 30 points in bad QB. He ended up making some plays at the end, and obviously Manuel made some plays.
I think it's got to be between Geno Smith and Jaguars Chad, QB.
Whoever the Jaguars quarterback is.
They've got to be the worst team in the NFL.
They're probably going to be Teddy Bridgewater bound.
And then they won't be in the bad QB league anymore. So let's go on to week two. First thing, we got Jets-Patriots Thursday night. And what do we know about that game already?
Danny Amendola is already out.
1 week and he's done. So
yep. He barely made it through the game. He was limping with his busted hamstring. They kept him in the game, but looks like
his
he's
hamstring
out.
Was busted before the game, or he busted it during the
I
game?
I think it was tender before the game. I think he's always
a
little
tender. Busted during the game.
Yeah, so he's out. Gronk's out. Vereen is out.
Hernandez is out.
Hernandez is still out. I don't think he's doubtful on the injury report, but I don't think he's going to be playing. So the Patriots are going to be throwing to Julian Edelman, basically, and running the ball with Steven Ridley, so hopefully he doesn't give the ball back to the Jets
too many
times.
Yeah, really, who are they going to throw to? Kimbrell Tompkins?
Yeah, he got four catches, but wasn't as involved as they were hoping. It's going to be interesting. That game, 4 days ago, looked like it would probably be a blowout, but
well, it's in New England, right?
It's in New England. Geno Smith probably played better than expected
and still
because the expectations were so low. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a short week. So Sunday, we have the Manning Bowl. A different version this time. It's finally the Broncos and Giants instead of the Colts and Giants like we're used to. That's at 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see who Archie's going to pull for in this one.
Is there any way the Giants win this game?
It's in New York?
Yeah.
The Broncos have got to be the Vegas favorite, but I think the Giants have a chance. Tom Coughlin's a good, tough coach. They usually rebound after a loss pretty well.
I mean, I'm sure Victor Cruz can get behind Raheem Moore if Jacoby Jones can.
Anybody can get behind Raheem Moore, but I would say maybe the Giants' chances lie about 35% or so. What, you think that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, I mean, Victor Cruz had 3 touchdowns this past week, so I doubt that'll happen again.
Reuben Randall's been pretty good, too. A second-year player, he's playing in the slot. We'll see what happens with Hakeem Nicks and his health. If they can control the clock and not let the Broncos score so fast, especially in the second half, they may be able to stay close.
Yeah,
if they can keep it close, though, Eli's a better clutch player than his brother. We know that from
the
postseason.
Super Bowl history. I'm not a total believer in the Broncos yet, but I mean, if their offense is explosive as it was versus the Ravens, then I mean, he has so many targets to throw to. I think the Broncos will take care of them.
Eli's
never
favorites.
Beaten Peyton, correct?
I don't believe so.
So they played twice, I think. So this will make it 0-3 for Eli.
I guess we'll find out on Sunday.
But 2 Super Bowl wins for him. So then we got the Redskins and Packers, both coming off losses Sunday and Monday. RG3, what did you see that you liked and didn't like about him?
Well, I admire the fact that he was able to get back on the field after the surgery 8 months ago. You know, I'm not a believer in RG3 in the way that most people are.
I mean, he didn't look good in the first half.
I think Andrew Luck was a better quarterback than him in college, was a better quarterback than him last year, is a better quarterback than him now, and will be a better quarterback than him in the future. I think RG3's gotten a little too much hype. The offense he ran last year was tailor-made for him. He threw 5 interceptions. He already has 2 this year. He's built for the pistol offense, and that's not going to be able to be sustained with as many ACL injuries as he's had. So he's going to have to learn to be a drop-back passer, and I think he's good, not great at that. So I don't see him.
Yeah, I mean, the Redskins and the Packers are two teams that came in highly touted at the beginning of the season, and now both of them are 0-1. One of them's going to be 0-2.
Where is that game?
I think it's in Green Bay.
It is in Green Bay. I think the Packers are probably going to be mad after their loss, maybe even madder than the Redskins were, since they kind of, you know, had a comeback shot there. They probably feel good about what they did with RG3.
The Packers still scored, 28 points on the 49ers defense.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if the Redskins aren't 0-2 at the end of Sunday.
So hopefully RG3's knee holds up.
Yeah, there's a story about the NFL telling him he had to cover up his knee brace.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
about
what that was about.
His defense was, I read, they also fined me $10,000 for a T-shirt, so I don't know what's going on.
So I don't know what's up with that, but I definitely need to protect that knee. But he's not the same player as he was last year.
Going on. All right, and then on Sunday Night Football, we have the 49ers at the Seahawks. Both 1-0. Will the Seahawks lose at home?
Probably not. I don't see that happening. I think they will probably go ahead and beat the 49ers. 49ers coming off, obviously, a very emotional win versus the Packers. You know, the emotions from the skirmish there. And, getting a win after the Super Bowl loss at the end of the year last year. So I would say there will probably be a little bit of a letdown there.
Over or under, let's go 30 points total for the game.
Wow. I'll say over just because both quarterbacks, I think, have the ability to score, but I don't think it'll be much more. Average total points in an NFL game is 41. I'll say maybe 31 or 32 in this game.
31 or 32. It'll be a close game, you think?
Yeah, maybe 17-14, something like that.
Will Marshawn Lynch cause another earthquake?
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
All right, so that's the preview for week two, and we'll close with a little bit of fantasy. Is there anybody that you like in particular outside the obvious picks?
Outside of the obvious picks? Well, I am very excited about Anquan Boldin. I have him on one of my teams.
Did you have him, or did you just pick him up?
I had him. I drafted him. So I felt smart on Sunday when he made all those catches. I'm excited about him. Excited, you know, obvious stuff here too, but to see what happens with, Welker again. I've got him on a couple teams.
Who are you going to replace Amendola with?
Amendola. I'm going to have to take a look at my roster. I've got too many teams. Don't remember all the players.
And do you care about any of these teams?
I don't care about any of them. It's tough to stay focused when you've got that many teams. What about you? Any players you're excited about?
I don't want to say players I'm excited about. I'd like to see if Doug Martin can get back to where he was last year. He only had 60 yards and a touchdown this week.
Yeah, I'd like to be justified for him, too. I picked him over Adrian Peterson in one league, and it'd be nice to see him match him on some scores.
And in the Mythical Football League, I have David Wilson and Chris Johnson, so that's a pretty awful-looking pair right now.
You've got good receivers in that league, though, don't you?
Yeah, I have Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Marquise Colston. So that should be fine.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Peyton Manning responds and Adrian Peterson respond in their Week 2 performances. They both kind of led the way for their position groups.
Yeah, definitely. So Patriots and Jets will kick it off on Thursday night. And then we'll be back next Tuesday on the Skip Bayless Presents the Dictator Goodell No Fun League podcast.
Of course, unless the Jets beat the Patriots, I'll probably have to take a week off to mourn.
All right. Thank you. See you later.